Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 19. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 19. The subject of our message today in this particular proverb is really the 10th verse. But we're going to read down to verse 19 because there are things concerning the 10th verse in the other 8 verses. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." So we're going to study today this topic, when sinners entice thee. All right, let's read the text, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." Now in this particular passage, these sinners that were enticing this young man were going to kill somebody in order to get his wealth. And Solomon says, they're just lying in wait for their own blood. They may actually murder somebody, they may get his wealth, but when a man is greedy of gain, that takes away the life of the owners thereof, he takes his own life away. And all is lurking privately is for his own life. He said, so don't go with them. And then when they say in verse 14, "Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse," it ain't going to happen that way. Somebody always gets a larger cut of it when you go along with them. Now, you're not typically approached by somebody to go murder somebody else and steal their goods. However, I mean, you know, I'm not sure who you are. Maybe you have been. The truth of the matter is it all stems from a common source. Verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." And that covers a wide array. Not only burglary and theft and assault, but also sex and drugs and alcohol and a lot of other things. "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Now, today, this verse says, if sinners entice thee, truthfully, you could say this, when sinners entice thee, because these days everyone gets enticed, young and old. And the instruction is just the same, consent thou not. You have to keep from giving in. No matter how much you fear rejection, no matter how much you fear losing your friends, no matter how much you want the acceptance, no matter how much you want the attention, you've got to consent thou not. You know, now, lots of people today are driven by the fear of rejection and the desire for acceptance. They're driving forces. And that's obviously something in our human nature, but it's so evident today that men are, I mean, even politicians that way, they're just fearful of bad press, fearful of rejection. They want to be accepted. And so consequently, you know, they'll bend and they're pliable to go any direction. Well, you don't want to be bendable and pliable to go any direction. You got to have some strength and some backbone to be able to stop against the times that you're enticed. Now, for young people, this enticing is called peer pressure. But you know something? You can be way out of your teen years and still feel this pressure. You can be a full-grown adult with children and still feel this pressure. So what are you going to do about it? He says, when sinners entice thee, consent thou not. How are you going to consent thou not? How are you going to deal with it when you get enticed? Well, there's four things. Number one, and it's in the text here, stay on the right path. Look what he says here again in verse 15. My son, watch it, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. So you got to stay off their path. Now for us Christians, staying on the right path is what is defined as separation. And there are all kinds of verses on it. The most popular are found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Separation. And you know, people don't like that word. In the cattle business, we separate the herd. So we put some cattle in one pasture, we put some cattle in another pasture. If there's a hole in that fence, they'll get through it, and they'll intermingle. Why? Because they don't want to be separated. And so when you say separation to somebody, that means that I'm going to be isolated from somebody that I may want to have some communication with. And as soon as you put up a little wall there and said, don't go over there and see that boy, don't go over there and see that girl, immediately there is a rebellion set off in the heart, and an attempt will be made to try to get connected. But he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? None. I mean, you shine a light in a dark room, and now it's light. It'll get brighter the more light you put in it, but if you've got a room full of darkness, that is, you've got a lot of evil sinners, and a Christian comes in, now you've got some light in there in the darkness, but they don't have communion. They're not on common ground. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, the Lord says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So that's separation. You got to stay off their path. You got to stay on the right path. And this is hard. It's hard to do that because of school, or hard to do that because of sports. You may go to a school that's a Christian school, and you may play club sports. It's going to be hard for you not to be exposed to sinners that will entice thee. And if they say to you, let's go over here and do something that you know is wrong, or something that you think is wrong, or something you're not sure about, then consent thou not. It's hard because of work. It's hard because of family. But you have to protect yourself. You have to stay off of their path. And the thing about their path is it's broad and it's convenient. It is the path of the world. Your path, on the other hand, is narrow. And oftentimes it seems like it is upstream. In other words, that as the broad and convenient path is sliding down the mudslide, yours is a narrow path and you're having to travel against the tide and against the broad and convenient path in order to be able to get along in life. You seem like you're swimming upstream the whole time. Now notice something in Matthew chapter 7 about this broad path and this narrow path. You've heard the verse before. There are people that aren't even saved that can quote a part of this verse, but it says here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. Straight, not straight as in not crooked, but straight as in narrow, as in tight, like a straight jacket, tight. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Watch it. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, here's the deal. When you take right and wrong, remember when we were in school, they used to give you true-false tests. Remember that? And the instruction before taking the true-false test is this. If any part of the answer is false, the whole answer is false. Remember that? Okay, well, comparing that to the right path and the wrong path, the right path is right. And it's going to be very specific. It's going to be very narrow. The right path is just this simple little line upon which you can walk. Everything else that is not that path is wrong. Everything else that is not that path is wrong. So let's say, just do it this way. Let's say that you're going on a compass heading, okay? Let's do it that way. That's easy to understand. Let's say you're on a compass heading. And the compass heading says that you've got to go due east. What is that? 90 degrees? Anyway, whatever it is. You go 90 degrees, I guess that's due east. You got to go due east, all right? In order to arrive at your desired location following 90 degrees, you would have to stay on 90 degrees to hit the point that you're going to. If you go 91 degrees, you're going to miss it. If you go 89 degrees, you're going to miss it. If you go 88 degrees, you're going to miss it. 87, 86, 85, everything on that compass dial that is not 90 degrees is the wrong way. It may be leading in the general direction of the place you're trying to wind up, but you are going to wind up in the wrong place if you veer at all from your course. That's how narrow the path of righteousness is. Now look, if you find yourself on their path, you have got to hightail it out of there and get back on the right path. That's why Paul gave Timothy specific instructions about these kinds of things. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. That's a lot of twos. 2:22. 2 Timothy 2:22. He said, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." All right, so if you find yourself veering off course, you've got to jump back on course. You have to flee also youthful lusts, because the path they are on is certainly going to lead to the wrong place, and it is going to lead, when it leads to the wrong place, it is going to lead to destruction. That is obvious. Look what Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25 says. You might probably already know how to quote this verse, and if you do, great. If you don't, you ought to learn how. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man." So he seems like he's going the right direction. "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man." It isn't right, but he thinks it is. It seems that way to him. "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Notice he says the ways of death. It's like that compass dial. 90 degrees will lead you to life. Everything else but 90 degrees will be the ways of death. The path that that man is on might be 85 degrees. That's a singular path. "There is a way," 85 degrees, "that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." It's 85 degrees is just like 180 degrees. It's going exactly the opposite direction. Why be close if it doesn't count? And you know the trouble with the sinners that are enticing you? They are too stupid to see that the destruction in that there is destruction in front of them. Look back here in Proverbs chapter 1 where we've taken our text. In Proverbs chapter 1, look what he says here in verse 17. "Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird." Now, if you're going to try to catch a bird with a net, and you set the net in the bird's sight, he's going to see it, and he's not going to go into the net. You will never catch the bird. Why? Because the bird will see it and veer from the net. And he says, what's so weird is, if a bird will avoid a net which is set to catch it, then why won't sinners avoid the destruction that awaits them going the path they're going? It is a certain deal. They are stupider than the birds. You can see the net. You can see the destruction. Verse 18 says, I mean, if a sinner entices you to go in a way where you had to lay wait for blood, beat a guy up to steal his money, he says they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. You can see it. You don't need to find out firsthand and make the mistake yourself to see if the path you're on is the wrong path. You know it is. You know it is. And the way to keep from consenting to the sinners who are enticing you is to stay on the right path, no matter that they may ridicule you, no matter that they may reject you, no matter that they won't accept you. Wrong crowd for you to be hanging around with anyway. All right, when sinners entice thee, consent thou not. How? Well, first of all, stay on the right path. How? Secondly, stay away from evil communications. Stay away from evil communications. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 is very clear on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, be not deceived. God is not mocked. That's another verse. I'm quoting from memory there. But be not deceived, verse 33 says, evil communications corrupt good manners. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. What does it say? It says evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, this is a big one because evil communications are everywhere. The popular place for evil communications today is on the internet, chat rooms, blogs. There's a deal that's gained a lot of popularity these days called MySpace. That's a terrible place because because the kids get on there and they put a picture of themselves and they put their interests and all that kind of stuff. And then they have people that visit them and they visit each other. And then these friends' comments are posted there. And when the people talk to each other on that thing, it's terrible, man. It's like they purposely talk raunchier just to be cool, but everybody can see it. And, you know, recently there was a report of a young lady that was raped and killed, and six young men between the ages of 18 and 20 were the ones that did it, and they were all friends that had visited this girl on MySpace, and then set up a place to have a party, and they took advantage of this poor girl, and it was terrible, just absolutely terrible what they did. Now, I would say to you, if you're a parent, do you want to check into the kinds of communications that your children are involved in? If they're involved in these kinds of things on the internet, I would say strictest safeguards, best just to knock it off. The instant messaging, the text messaging, the radio, the television, the movies are filled with evil communications. Any kind of a movie today that's rated with any kind of a rating, like parental guidance or PG-13 and up, any of that stuff, it's just loaded with evil communications and suggestive stuff. Movies, printed material. I was reading a book recently by a fella. As a matter of fact, I'm just about to finish it up, and he was talking about being a Boy Scout, and he went out as a 13-year-old boy with an Eagle Scout. There were several of them in a car, and this boy was playing rock and roll music real loud on his radio and then spent about an hour while he was with these young men telling dirty jokes, evil communications. You say, well, that shouldn't be happening with scouts. It shouldn't be, but the truth of the matter is it does. Evil communications are everywhere. That's what's so difficult about them. They're in the lunchroom, they're in the barroom, they're on the school bus. Now, those kinds of conversations will put all kinds of thoughts into your head and get your feet going in the wrong directions. Now, let me show you a great case of this from the Bible. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 13, wouldn't you know it? 2 Samuel chapter 13. That'd be a great place for this kind of thing to show up, 13 being the kind of number it is. Look what he says in 2 Samuel chapter 13 about friends and their evil communications. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 1, it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Well, there's a problem there because they're brother and sister. They're half-brother and half-sister. But nonetheless, they're too close for this kind of thing. Verse 2, and Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. So this guy's all buzzed up about having some sort of a one-night relation with his sister, of all things. Look what the next verse says. 2 Samuel 13:3, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. So they're first cousins. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. The first time you find that word in the Bible, it's connected with the serpent that tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden under the influence of the devil. Very subtle man. So Jonadab cooked up a scheme that Amnon could follow in order to entice Tamar to come to his bedchamber, and then he could lay with her. And that's exactly what happened. When Amnon had successfully raped her, he decided he didn't like her. He hated her more than he loved her. And so he ran her out of the house, and Absalom found out about it. He was furious. He bided his time, and 2 years later, he was shearing sheep and called his brothers to come up there to shear sheep with him, and Amnon stupidly went with the brothers up there. They got him a little buzzed up on whiskey, on wine, on drink, and then Absalom instructed his servants to kill him, and Amnon died. Now there was a messenger that came back, and when the messenger came back, he told David, all of the king's sons are dead. And David just, he rent his clothes. But watch what happens down here in verse 32. Verse 31 for the context, 2 Samuel 13:31. The king arose and tore his garments, lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. David's just furious because Absalom supposedly has killed all of his brothers. Look at it. And Jonadab, verse 32, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, answered and said, let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons. For Amnon only is dead, for by the appointment of Absalom, this hath been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. Now therefore let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart, to think that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon only is dead. Let me tell you something that might not be readily apparent to you in hearing this little story. It is Jonadab that, through his evil communications, worked out the scheme whereby Amnon could lie with Tamar. And it is Jonadab who knew the evil intentions of Absalom against Amnon and was able to comfort the king that he had not lost all of his sons but one. The only trouble is, Jonadab knew exactly what was going to happen to Amnon, but did not even bother to warn him. Now that's what you get when you listen to sinners that are your friends. They'll set you up to bring you down, and you'll be none the wiser. They'll know. You won't know. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. How are you going to do that? How are you going to consent not? You consent not by staying on the right path. You consent not by staying away from evil communications. You consent not by staying away from envy. That's the third thing. Stay away from envy. And he said, what does that have to do with it? Well, it says here, if sinners entice thee, they may or may not come and say anything to you at all. You may just be watching them and wishing that you could be like them. Look in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. You keep eyeing that thing and you think, man, I wish I had what they have. I wish I could do what they do. I have to go to church all the time. I see these pretty little girls, but I can't do what that fella gets to do. Look at him. He's already had 3 or 4 girlfriends, and he's already, you know, enjoyed marital privilege with every one of them. And man, I will, you know, how that thing goes. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Asaph knew about this problem with envy. Psalm 73, verses 2 and 3. Psalm 73, verses 2 and 3. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. It bothered Asaph that the wicked could get away with the things that they did, but he couldn't. And he felt like they were better off than he was. He didn't know until he considered their latter end that, in fact, they weren't better off. But let me tell you something. It is easy to get seduced into something when you see your neighbor getting away with it and when it is something that you want to do deep down. That's the problem. Like, for instance, you may be a girl. And the girls today dress very provocatively, and your parents won't let you dress that way. The boys pierce themselves and tattoo themselves, and you think, man, why can't I do that? Why can't I be cool? Well, I'll tell you why. It may not be readily apparent to you now, but I'll tell you why. Because you're God's child, and you ought to look like his child. And when you are enticed by your neighbor, you got to remember that they're the devil's children, And that's why they look that way. Now, the terrible thing in Christianity today is that young people, for instance, don't have much of an example anymore. They look around and the people who profess to be Christian young people look just like the devil's children. There's no distinction. And so if their parents, if your parents are putting hard clamps on you, if you're a parent and you're putting hard clamps on your children, I mean, it's going to be terrible because they're enticed when they see their neighbors able to do the things that they can't do. But in the long run, let me tell you something, you won't want to live with the regrets when you do follow them. So just leave it alone. When sinners entice thee, stay away. Stay away from envy. Stay away from evil communication. Stay on the right path. And finally, stay close to the Lord. Stay close to the Lord. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil as a roaring lion goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There is a spiritual warfare for your spirit, for your soul, for your body. They're after you. And just remember that you have a spiritual enemy that wants to take you down, and the closer you stay to the Lord, the less likely that he will be able to use someone else to drag you down. Get into a good church. If you're in a good church, stay close to that church. Be involved in that church. Do things with the people in that church. Get involved. Stay on your knees. Pray. And stay in the book, close to the words of God, listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to you through the words of God. Because then you will be able to see an attack that is coming that others might otherwise miss. And you'll be able to respond with the biblical help that's afforded you from this Bible in order to be able to keep from falling prey to what awaits those sinners who get off the path. I deal with it all the time. Folks will call and the children are in trouble. And the thing is, they fell in one of these areas. They either got off the right path, they started listening to evil communications. It's usually a combination of all these. They started envying what the other folks had that they didn't have, and they got away from the Lord. And if you get all four of those, you are a dead duck is what you are. If you find yourself still good on two of these and out of fellowship with God on two of these, you need to straighten up today, so that you don't consent to what the sinners are trying to do when they drag you down.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.